Late last year on the program, we introduced you to the Central Interceptor. It's a tunnel being built under Auckland, which will be the largest in the country. The project was interrupted by the lockdown, but when Level 3 began yesterday, 50 people returned to the main construction site in Mangere. And the man in charge of the project, Shane Cunis, joins us now. Hi, Shane.
Hey, Jesse. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, to you as well. Last time we chatted, you were sort of gearing up for it, really. You'd done all the necessary research, you'd done all the planning, and it was about to begin. So how have the first few months gone?
Oh, they've gone exceptionally well, and we were so close to finishing the first stage of the project, which is the diaphragm wall, which we talked about, and the special piece of equipment that had come in from Germany, the hydrophrase. And we got within three panels of completing that, and then the lockdown came. But it was a fantastic day yesterday. We got the workers back on site. We introduced them to the new way of working, and we, you know, really had put a lot of effort in over the last month into thinking about how we can do work again safely in this new way of working, because things have changed. And I think they're actually going to change for the better. But I think there was a great deal of relief on our workers' face when they came to site and they'd seen the effort that had gone into planning for their return. And it's back into it. It was a very, very slow start yesterday. We just wanted to get people back to site, reacquaint them with what we were doing, the hazards that still remain on site, and how they may have changed with these new work restrictions that we've got in place. But safe to say, everyone was very, very happy. And as the week goes on, more and more people will be coming back to work, and we look forward to getting back up to full steam again.
Remind people of the purpose and the dimensions of this tunnel.
So this tunnel is 14.7 kilometres long. It's running from Mangere Wastewater Treatment Plant through to Greyland. It's got a diameter of 4.5 metres, or as I described previously, it's the height of an average female giraffe.
Yeah.
It's got about 4 kilometres of 2-metre diameter tunnel feeding into it in West Auckland and Central Auckland. And it's there to pick up the wet weather overflows that occur when it rains. Provides for growth and provides resilience, because as we're all aware, Auckland is a city that's getting older, as is its infrastructure, and we're planning for renewal. So that's its purpose. It's been a long time in the planning. And, you know, in reality, this was a one-month interruption, a six-year journey. I'd like to think that we'll be able to make this time up. We didn't all sit at home and do nothing. We've spent the month very wisely planning for this next stage of the work. So I think we'll come back bigger and stronger and really get back into it.
Was that early work, did anything surprise you, or did it go exactly how you expected it would?
Oh, look, whenever you're digging down to, you know, depths of up to 50, 52 metres beneath the surface into ground that hasn't seen humans, there's always surprises. I think the most pleasant surprise was some of the things that were found. You referred to it in your introduction around some of the shells that have been coming up through the operation on the hydrophrase. The GNS have taken a look at them, and they're sort of 3 to 4 million years old, coming out of the Kawa formation. And what's different about these is they're coming out intact. And they're actually quite stunning, to be honest. I thought they were a scallop, but someone told me that it's actually a cockle. It's just a lot bigger than the cockles that we see now. And there are remnants of time, you know, when the world was a much, much different place. I take a great deal of comfort from things like this, because it tells me the world will survive, and the world has been here for a lot longer than, say, COVID-19. So, yes, it was a month of, you know, very difficult times for us, but I think the way the communities have all come together has been excellent, and now we can get it forward to recovering from it. So that's been just one of the things. I think, you know, the progress we've made was fantastic. We were on program, and everything was lining up well. So I'm not going to let this month interrupt our forecast for when we're going to complete this project.
These cockles were intact. You weren't tempted to have a feed chain?
No, only how I suppose when I say intact, half the shell's intact. So they've been obviously eaten by whatever roamed the okay. the seabed or that time.
I was going to say, because I get a bit dodgy if the oysters are a day past their expiry,
yeah,
let alone 3 or 4 million years old.
That's a bit worse than those thousand-year-old eggs you can get in Southeast Asia, I guess. But, as I say, I mean, when they started coming up, you know, we were just blown away, because it's something we weren't expecting to see. The hydrophrase is a very destructive machine. It churns the earth up very, very well. But these things were coming out whole, and it was a number of us have got them as mementos because it's something that you're not going to get every day on a dib in this country.
Do they have any archaeological value? Any scientists sniffing around?
Yeah, so we've sent some down to GMS so that they can have a look. They're doing a massive research program on the geological history of Auckland at the moment, and we've invited them to come to site when we start excavation proper because it effectively is going to be the largest borehole that's ever been dug in Auckland, and I'm sure it's going to unveil a whole bunch of history for them to help them further their education on what lies beneath, because as you very rarely dig down 50, 52 metres below the surface. And obviously as we go further on the tunnel and dig some of the shafts into other parts of Auckland, we'll make that opportunity available. We've also been working with the engineering school on the opportunities this project presents, because it would be unfortunate if we didn't provide a number of the young people the opportunity that this project presents itself. So we're trying to maximise those opportunities where we can.
Hey, big question. COVID delays aside, are you on budget?
Yes, we are. I mean, clearly there are going to be some COVID-related costs, and we're still working with the contractor around that. However, we've got contingency measures in place to cover unforeseen events, and we're treating this as just another unforeseen event. There are some silver linings to this that inflation is effectively zero. So if you can recall a year ago, the construction industry was going through the absolutely gangbusters. Yeah. We were struggling to get tradesmen, we were struggling to get people, oil prices high. All of those things have changed now. So, there will be some, I know it's hard to see them at this time, but there will be some benefits for the construction industry out of this. I'm very optimistic for the future. And again, we'll work with the contractor on the costs. But on a $1.2 billion project, I think we can manage them. I think the way that we'll have to work going forward, I liken it to seatbelts in the back seats of cars. When they first came in, people grumbled and groaned. But we've all got used to them, and now we always put them on, and it's become more efficient. So I'm an optimist. I actually think this could be better for some of the ways we do work. But time will tell, I guess.
Hey, nice to talk to you. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, we'll look forward to talking to you again.
Shane Cunis, who is project manager of this huge tunnel that's being built under Auckland, the Central Interceptor, which is helping out with Auckland's various wastewater problems.